You're very welcome along to the RTE Rugby Podcast. We've taken the podcast on the road this week, Franklin's Gardens in Northampton, where Ireland have just beaten Spain 43 points to 27 in Pool C of the Women's Rugby World Cup, securing their place in the quarterfinals with a game to spare. They now have a free shot next week against New Zealand down in Brighton. Fiona Coughlan has stayed on in Northampton to chat to me on the podcast this week. And Fiona, to sum it all up, I suppose, Ireland are through to the quarterfinals with a game to spare. If that was the full story, that would be brilliant. But there's a lot to get through in this game.
Yeah, like, obviously that was the goal of the game, is get through to that quarterfinal. But they'll have lots to work on going forward into that quarter. Well, next week, first and foremost, and into that quarterfinal. Like, areas of the defence, which we spoke about last week, would certainly concern them. Like, really specific areas around the front of the lineout that were exposed three times. The amount of unforced errors in the game, they'll be really frustrated with themselves. But, look, they set out what they aim to do, and that was win the game. But, yeah, they'll have a lot of work to do.
We'll start, I suppose, brief little recap of the game and run through some of the positives before we get on to the more constructive criticism. Seven tries is the one thing that jumps out. They beat last week's 42-point haul, which was a record for an Ireland team to score in a World Cup. They've beat it by one this week up to 43. Seven tries, two for Grace Moore. That little quick fire early in the second half that kind of put the game to bed. Anna McGann got in for two. Dan O'Brien, Amy Lee Costigan and Eve Higgins also crossed the line as well. In terms of attack, I suppose it's one thing we've seen with Ireland in the past where they do leave a lot of chances out on the pitch. There probably weren't as many clear-cut try-scoring opportunities that they let go this week. Is, I suppose, one of the positives just that when they did get opportunities to score, they generally did?
Yeah, and the variety, I suppose, in them, it's that power of Grace Moore, getting the ball out to the wings as well. So it was the variety and the style that they're taking their tries. And, you know, Spain's defence was actually good. You know, they had numbers coming up hard in the line, and Ireland managed to compress them and create spaces out wide. So I think they will be happy with their attack and taking those opportunities. But they've spoken a lot about layers and layering on, and I don't think we necessarily saw that today, but they did take their opportunities.
And following on from last week, it was actually kind of a similar pattern in many ways to last week's game. A brilliant start by Ireland. Dan O'Brien peppered a couple of kicks down into that back left corner there, right behind our backs, and the first one of those bounced lovely out into touch to give give Japan a line out, but Ireland ultimately got one off the back of that as well. But then the second time round, Spain end up dawdling with it inside their own 22. It opens the door, Amy Lee Costigan turns it over, and it ends with Dan O'Brien scoring right behind us here in the corner to get Ireland off the mark. 2 weeks in a row, two good starts. Not always something we've associated with this Ireland team.
Yeah, and it's something they've spoken about. It's something they've worked on. And, you know, Dana's boot is actually so important in that. And that's really vital in the way that they play, is using her boot to turn the opposition and get them into really good positions. And they executed really well then off that. You know, they work into their phases. They go through the phases and they go over for the try. So they will be happy with the fast starts because it's something they pinpointed and something they worked on. And same with physicality. I do think their physicality in terms of attack and the carries were there. It was just on the other side of the ball. So there is elements that they will be very happy with.
In terms of Dan O'Brien as a whole, what did you make of her overall display? A couple of frustrations off the tee this week. There was a couple of shots off the post and a couple of conversions missed in pretty easy conditions. But the kicking out of hand put Ireland in good positions quite regularly during the game.
And it continues to do. Like, she gets such distance on her kick, and Spain didn't, like, they had two players back all of the time, but she managed to sometimes get it over their head, sometimes bounce it in front of them. That asked questions of them as well. So it is key to them. I just do question when you're kicking to the likes of maybe the New Zealand back three or French back three, if that's the right option. There's a lot of space between the front line and in the backfield as well. So there's a lot of space there for chip kicks. And in the second half, she put up a Gary Owen, which is the first time we saw it in this. And we got good return off that. And Ireland eventually went in for a try after. They went out of touch and stuff. But just that position. So the variety in kicking is good. But she'll be frustrated with herself today. Gareth Steenson was on having a few words after some of the conversions. After last week, you know, going flawless 6 from 6. And some not easy kicks. Whereas some were arguably in easier positions today. So we know she's capable of doing it. It's just that psychological side of it. And she's 21, like, do you know what I mean? She's learned her trade at the highest level. You know, she stepped up to senior as an 18-year-old. She went on that Japanese tour. I know we're further down the line in Ireland and stuck with her, but she's still only 21 and still learning her trade.
And you mentioned how Ireland have a habit maybe of leaving that little space in the backfield when they do kick themselves, and that ultimately actually led to Spain's first try. It was a 50-22 hit right back down at them. And from Ireland being 12-0 and pretty much cruising their way through the early stages of the game, all of a sudden, two quick tries from that 50-22, it's 12-all. And for the second week in a row, Ireland looked quite rattled.
We have to give Spain a credit. That was an unbelievable 50-22. Dana was actually covering it in the backspace, but it was so inch perfect. It was outstanding. But that was a key moment as well. And Sam Monaghan went down and went off. You know, just that change so early on, and it rattled Ireland a bit. And then Spain attacked well. You know, they scored the five tries. They attacked well, and it exposed Ireland, particularly when they get sucked in quite narrow, which happened a few times as well. So they will be concerned about that. But then they got back into the game, and at the start of the second half, restarts were another issue that they're going to have to work on. Mm-hmm. They started the second half, three restarts didn't go to hand and allowed Spain to get back into it. But those two quick tries from Grace Moore just set them up nicely.
And it's funny, like, we're talking about small little moments that flip momentum in games, and we just spoke about that 50-22. And it was a similar thing when Ireland wrestled back momentum about 10 minutes later in the second half. It looked like everything was falling apart for Ireland. They were messing up restarts. Dan O'Brien had that shallot goal, which we all thought might settle the nerves. It comes back off the post. Then they get another penalty. They go down into that corner. And then there's a line-out misfire. It goes over the top. Nobody jumps for it. And it was just a Spanish knock-on at the back of that line-out. Hands Ireland a scrum. They get go-forward ball off it, and Eve Higgins goes in under the post. And all of a sudden, that kind of momentum just comes back around again.
Yeah, and sometimes it's just that bounce of the ball, and they're lucky with it. Overall, I thought the line-out was better today. Yeah. They didn't have a receiver all the time in the nine channel, which they got away with a lot. But in terms of it functioning, it definitely functioned a lot better today, even with all the changes. So that is a positive. That's obviously something they would have worked on from last week. So that is a good thing. But yeah, they certainly got the bounce of the ball, and a referee's called the odd time as well.
Let's talk about the more concerning, maybe even worrying elements of the game leading into next week against the New Zealand team, who obviously are going to be a lot better than Spain were today. I don't know the exact stats on points per 22 entry or how many 22 entries Spain had, but because we're still only a few minutes out from the game, but I kind of feel that when I was looking through my notebook, every single time Spain got down into that 22, they either got over the line or maybe they'd have tried disallowed. They were getting over the gain line pretty much at will down there.
And the thing that gave them the pitch position at the start was unforced Irish errors that allowed them in there. So that'll be really frustrating from an Ireland point of view. And then defensively, Spain were really controlled. They went to their forwards numerous times around that try line. They tried to suck in the Irish fence and created space out wide. But Ireland would be frustrated that their tackles coming off that line weren't harder, weren't pushing Spain back, which we've seen them do. That first half against England in the Six Nations game, it was an unbelievable Ireland defensive performance. And I just think we need to see more of that from them, more hunger getting off the line, making those hits.
How big of an impact do you think it was losing Sam Monaghan inside those just after the 20-minute mark? It was an absolute whopper of a double tackle that took her out of the game. I've just been in speaking to Scott Beam, and he says it was just a little hip issue. He doesn't think it's going to be anything serious. It felt more precautionary than anything with the game at the stage where it was. I think they were pretty confident they were going to go on, even though Spain had kind of got back into it at that stage. But was it a case of just get her off the pitch?
Oh, the minute I saw it happened, I didn't even know whether she was going to... I was just, take her off. Like, don't risk it at all. Just her injury profile over the last year, what she's gone through. Don't make her work through it. And it was the right idea to get it off. But again, they lost a little bit of leadership control. You needed players like Brittany Hogan, who's so fundamental now in that leadership role, to come on and step up. Amy Lee Costigan took over the captaincy. You know, a bit hard for her out in the wing to be talking to the referee all the time, and then the referee was getting frustrated. But I thought the centre saw Eve Higgins again and Dalton, you know, they thought they were really good. It's a concern. Like, we don't need Sam necessarily for the New Zealand game. Obviously, you'd love her to be there and starting, but I think you have to focus on that quarterfinal game.
Yeah, and it was interesting. It was put to Scott inside there, speaking to the media, about seven changes. Does he think that had any impact this week on the lack of consistency, the lack of momentum gained over the course of the last 7 days, and how it ended up being a bit of a scrappy performance? He, I would say, gave a bullish response. He said, we've just scored 43 points and booked our place in a quarterfinal of a World Cup. So I think that was the emphatic answer. But if you are breaking it down into more granular detail, like, do you think it was too many changes? I know the risk ultimately paid off, but it did feel like a big risk.
Yeah, look, when I saw it, I was like, oh, that's a lot. Like, but in a World Cup, you have to get time into those players. You never know when someone's going to get injured. And, you know, they did start well. They scored those two early tries, and they did start well. So they had it, and it was consistent. But it's just when Spain put pressure on them and asked questions of them, that's when it kind of started to fall a little bit apart. And that's when Sam Monaghan or Idel McMahon are just so important, just rallying the troops, bringing them back together again. So, look, They won with 7 tries, so he's going to be stand by that was the right decision.
In terms of the players who did come in this week, who do you think kind of caught the eye, has given themselves a chance of being in the matchday squad next week at least, or potentially even in the starting 15? Just running through some names, Elena Perry was player of the match today. I know Claire Bowles chipped in with something like 24, maybe even 25 tackles. There were a number of Irish players that were hitting 20 tackles and above as well. Maybe that's a sign of the kind of day it was and the kind of performance it was, but did any one of those players coming in this week catch the eye for you?
I think Grace Moore certainly added that impact that we saw in those warm-up games again, and it'll come back to the balance that he wants. We've seen Fiona Tewitt in the back row again. She started in the back row today, then went into the second row, so it'll depend on the balance that he's looking for in terms of that set piece, the line out, and the way that they're going to go about this New Zealand game and how they're going to take them on tactically. So, you know, it's, even if a player might have been outstanding today, that doesn't mean that they're going to start or be in the match day 23. It'll depend on tactically how they want to go after and the balance within certain positions.
How many gears does it have to go up now in the next week? And I know it's probably natural to expect it will, because we're probably going to have players coming back in who'd be regular starters, but how many gears does it have to go up?
Like, I think significantly. I wrote them off last year in WXV. They came away with that super win by 2 points against New Zealand, and they were super that day, but New Zealand have added so many quality players to their squad. You're looking at Portia Woodman, Stacey Wacker, Georgia Miller, who has just hit this tournament like a phenomenon. I don't know if Olsen Baker is going to be out injured. She went off in that first game, and Letty Inga as well. They've just added quality, whereas we've obviously lost players to injury. So I they're World Cup beasts. They always turn up for a World Cup, and years in between World Cups they don't really seem to care, and they just turn up for a World Cup. So I do think, and they're going to be bullish that Ireland beat them 11 months ago, also that Ireland beat them in 2014 in a World Cup. I just find it very hard to see Ireland, even if coming up to a level, beating this New Zealand team.
Okay, with that in mind then, if we're kind of guessing, if we're trying to map out how the rest of the tournament could look for Ireland, if they do lose next week, more than likely you're probably thinking France in a quarter final. How prepared do you think this current team are at this moment in time to give France a proper rattle in a quarter final?
Yeah, I think France are blown very hot and even more cold at the moment. I don't think they were overly convincing against Italy last week. They were missing Bourdon Sansous, who's just vital in the way that they play. But Ireland, after that first game of the Six Nations, they felt that they left that game behind them. They felt that there was enough in them to beat that French team. They have to clean up those unforced errors and their defence if they have any hope of beating that French team, who, again, you know, can turn it on in World Cups or turn it on when they want to.
But it was a bit of kind of phony war this time last week with Ruby Toohey talking about the potential of Ireland maybe throwing the game against New Zealand next week if they had a quarterfinal secure. I don't know, had you even heard about that? Maybe?
See, I actually think it came from me, because I was talking about, you know, World Cups and squad selection and do you go hard for the first two games and then not so hard. I never said throw a game. Like, no team's going to throw a game. It's like, you know, Spain or Samoa going out against tough opposition. They're not going to throw a game.
I'll flip it for you then. Do you think, now that Ireland are qualified, do you think they're going full bore against New Zealand to really have a crack off them?
Well, going on Scott's comments last week where he said he's going to pay this tournament the respect that it deserves and they're going to, you know, want to bring people along with them. If that's what he's saying, I think that's what he has to do. He has to go full bore. Obviously, it will depend on injuries, whether Sam comes through in time for next week. I wouldn't risk her. If she's not 100%, I wouldn't risk her. But going on his comments last week, it appears that he is going to go full bore.
Yeah, and certainly if he's making 7 changes for this game and, you know, leaving the likes of Brittany Hogan, Ruth Campbell on the bench, players like Bavin Parsons dropping out, Adele McMahon dropping out. I mean, if the goal was to get these points on the board and take it handy against New Zealand, you're probably playing those players this week.
Yeah, and like, you know, it's a long tournament. You have to rotate your players. It's just when you do it and how you do it is the thing. And he rotated players today, so that means players are rested. Like, they have a week between games now. We only have 4 days. So, you know, it is a different thing. And I do think, just based on what he said, that he will go as strong as he can next week.
Final couple of points. Linda Dugang, 50th cap today. I couldn't believe it earlier in the week when I was looking back on it. Like, Nora Stapleton in 2017, the last Irish player to actually hit a 50 cap mark. It kind of shows how tough times have been in the last few years for Irish rugby. But what a milestone for a player like Linda. And, you know, here's to another 50 potentially.
Yeah, look, I'm delighted for Linda. I think obviously she took up the game late, like most people, hadn't even seen rugby, really had to Google what it was, and just her application and work ethic to get to the level that she's at. She was loosehead tight head. Then she was flitting between the two and firmly tight head. But she often goes 70, 80 minutes in a game. She is so important to this Irish team. The scrum was dominant today. A lot of times the scrum has been done, but it's not that. It's around the park. It's what she offers. I'm absolutely delighted for her. And I just can't believe 2017 is the last time. And we only 15 players who've ever gone 50. So, yeah, it's a huge moment for her. And, you know, the squad totally embraced it yesterday in the jersey presentation, and really good vibes with her leading the team out today. So I'm delighted for her. I hope there's 50 more for her.
Yeah, I was just standing in the mix zone earlier on, and you could hear the cheering for Linda from the changing room. She was in talking to people as well. I'm sure you'll get some of that reaction online and on TV and on the radio as well. Before we finish up, two games in Northampton there in the bag. Have you enjoyed your time at Franklin's Gardens? Right. It is one of the nicer rugby grounds to come and visit. An absolute carpet of a pitch. Four stands nice and tight to the pitch as well.
It's a brilliant stadium. It's the way they have it set up. They have a fan zone out the back that has just been a hive of activity from early morning. The crowd are so close to the pitch. So many Irish over here as well. I'll definitely come back to Franklin's Gardens.
Tell us about Brighton next week, though. Not even just the game itself, but the occasion. I'm pretty sure it's a sold-out game already down in Brighton. It's going to be an absolutely huge crowd. I would expect an enormous amount of that is going to be Irish supporters as well. And your ex-teammates are all having a big reunion?
Yeah, so like just the weekend, first and foremost, England are playing Oz the night before, and Australia have so much to play for in that game. So the weekend then there, it's going to be absolutely heaving. But we've probably about 80 ex-internationals heading to Brighton next weekend. Still people on the search for tickets for the Sunday. You know, obviously loads of the family members as well. I've never been to Brighton. But it's going to be a celebration regardless of the result on Sunday. It's going to be just a celebration of Irish women's rugby.
All right, roll on Brighton. The lawnmowers are going in the background. They're ready to kick us off the pitch. We need to get to the airport, but we'll be out to Brighton in a couple of days' time with all the build-up ahead of Ireland against New Zealand next Sunday. We'll speak to you again soon.